So I've been going to church my whole life. I went to Sunday school, knew most of the answers that they'd ask. I didn't really have any real problems with going to church and stuff because at that sort of age it didn't really affect me. But then when I went to secondary school, that changed a bit. In secondary school, church sort of stopped me doing some things that I wanted to do. And obviously, this annoyed me because it made me feel like I was left out of some stuff. And it just made me hate church and just didn't like coming. Just thought, what's the point if it's just stopping me to live my life? And so I said that as soon as I was old enough to leave my house, I'd stop going to church and do what I want, really. So every summer through secondary school, I'd go to this sports camp called Christians in Sport. And obviously, it's a sports camp run by Christians, pretty self-explanatory. I didn't really go for any of the Christian stuff, like there were sermons and stuff, but I didn't really listen. I went because I enjoyed the sports and I had a lot of friends there. But then, so 2 or 3 years ago, I was in a group and we were gathered around with our group of eight with our leader, and our leader was talking about how he became a Christian. So he said he was in a similar position to me before he left for university. And he'd gone to university, stopped going to church, started doing what he wanted. And after like a year of doing this, he said he still didn't feel satisfied. And he thought as soon as he left and did what he wanted, he'd be able to just do everything he wanted, have a perfect life, have great fun. But he just felt like he wanted more and nothing could fulfill him. One of his relatives got in touch with him and got him to go back to a church. And he looked at Christianity in a completely different way that he'd ever looked at it before. With a completely different view, and he found out this is what he needed, and this is what he needed to fulfill himself. So yeah, this was obviously when I heard this, I was quite confused because I was like, okay, so if he's thought that, and that he was going to do exactly what I was going to do when I left home, and it hasn't worked out for him, maybe I should look into it. Maybe I should think about what it means for me. So I got back from that camp. I started looking at Christianity for myself. And I just started looking at the people that went to the same school as me. And I just realized that the people doing all the things that I felt I was so kept away from, that I couldn't do, that I wanted to do, they weren't happy. And I thought, if I had those things, I would be happy. And that was quite a change in my life because I no longer wanted to be like that. I no longer felt like I was being held back from doing things which I wanted to do. That's quite a big change from where I was because I hated church before. But now I went to find out more. Find out what it meant for me and how I could live my life. Then yeah, I realized I'd been rejecting God for ages and I just wanted to live my life to please God for once. I realized you didn't have to be good. Anyone could become a Christian and I just felt blessed that I was able to.
So I've always called myself a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family, but as I got older, church began to get boring. It seemed like like a chore that I couldn't avoid. I still went, but I didn't really want to. The crazy thing is, although I thought all these things, I still said I was a Christian, even though deep down I wasn't. But I didn't realise how special having a relationship with God is. I just thought God was boring and got in the way of things I wanted to say and do. Then last summer, I went to a Christian camp like Rob, but it wasn't sport. I heard many talks and I realised how exciting being a Christian is. It really hit me how amazing all the Bible stories are. I realised that I'd kind of taken Jesus' love for granted. I'd already asked Jesus into my life when I was younger, but I didn't really mean it. So I prayed that same prayer again at camp, because I realised that I'm a sinner and Jesus had died for me. This time it was genuine, and I went home a Christian. I realised that all the things that I thought God was preventing me from doing really aren't worth it, and following Jesus is so much better. This doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm far from perfect, but I truly believe that God loves me and I want to live for him, so that's why I'm getting baptised.
So I've got 3 minutes. When the last year I could make a movie, I arrive here today talking to you as a born-again Christian. My life from the outside looked pleasant. 23 years of hard work, becoming a professional golfer, developing my skills every day to become a better coach, building my own brand, the Tiger Club, head coach of the county squad, head coach of England under-18s, married to my wife with our beautiful son, Charlie. However, something was missing, and I was searching like crazy to find it. I asked, and mixed with performance coaches, the likes of Gareth Bale's performance coach and Joe Hart's coach, I went to seminar after seminar, even found myself Skyping several people around the world. I studied psychology, Buddhism, several other techniques, as well as reading hundreds of books, but something was still missing. I found it challenging to live in the moment and be at any level of peace. It was the beginning of 2017 when I felt as if my life had ended. I lost the contract for my successful business, split with my wife, and moved into my parents' all within a week. I had thought about suicide several times, and indeed would continue to think about suicide until June. I started drinking to dangerous levels, smoking, being very rude, and blaming all my problems on everybody else, and indeed the world itself. 18 months earlier, Wayne Dumbleton had introduced me to Bernard and Rosie, and all I can say is that this was Jesus' work. Without them, I wouldn't be standing here today, and indeed not standing here at all. I was at breakdown and very, very sick. Every day they opened the door and walked alongside me in this experience. Other church members, through God's work, were also brilliant, talking to me and generally helping me. I was enjoying Bible class and coming to church, but still dabbling and not fully committed to Jesus. June the 18th. 2017, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life and forgive me for my sins and invite the Holy Spirit into my life. I remember this day specifically as it was Father's Day and I was without my son. I was sitting crying in church during the service and I decided to walk out and smoke another cigarette that I had become addicted to over a 6-month period. I was pacing up and down in the car park thinking about my son when all of a sudden Paul Jones appeared. I continued to cry and explain my situation, how I was no longer able to see my son and how I missed him, and I was a lost man. I looked up and there he was with tears in his eyes too. He genuinely cared. Wow. He put his hands on my shoulder and prayed to the Lord. I'll always remember how we just stood in silence. Afterwards, we talked for 20 minutes and Paul assured me, God will let me see my son again soon. 5 minutes later, I had a coffee in my hand, and Susie and Dorothy and Stan come over to talk and invited me for lunch, in which I declined. As I declined, a voice in my head said, "You must go." 2 hours later, after having Father's Day lunch and lots of great discussions, I was invited Jesus into my life in front of the living room with Dorothy. Sorry, in the living room with Dorothy. Since that day, I've walked with Jesus in my heart. It's only 3 months, but my life has changed dramatically. Immediately, I gave up smoking, drinking, spirits, and listening to Satan, and started praying and listening to the Lord, engaging back into what I enjoy doing, being and helping coaching children. With Jesus' help, I've managed to help with Epic Explorers, got gunged, keep hold of my England job and county job, and launch a new business, as well as seeing my dear, beautiful son. For 3 weeks in the summer period, where again me and Charlie were both blessed by Paula and Ivan inviting us to go camping. I now feel free to come into the presence of my Heavenly Father. On a daily basis in prayer, I praise him. I thank him. I worship him. I bring all my requests, my worries to him. I know that Jesus keeps his word, his promises, and that Jesus never fails. For me, my baptism today is a public declaration of my commitment to Jesus. From now, I choose to go with him all the way and try daily to follow in his footsteps. I look to the Holy Spirit for help and guidance. I want to be a source of blessing to all those I meet and so bring glory to God. I'd like to say a prayer. Dear Father, thank you for arranging for me to become a member of the community of this beautiful church. Father, they have made me feel part of this inspiring, beautiful family that is working hard for you. The search is over. I have found you and you have found me. Even though I've had a challenging journey ahead, with you I can achieve this whilst feeling total peace at the same time. That is what I finally may add, better than any idol. Thank you for this beautiful day where we can all be together. Amen.
I was baptized as a child, as a baby. Every baby in the small town in Germany was baptized, to my knowledge. It was a social ritual without spiritual relevance. My mother was only a Christian on paper, and my home in many ways closer to hell than heaven, and physical and emotional abuse reigned. My best friend was a vicar's daughter, and I often went to church with her. It was something to do, and I think I was already searching for something then. I was even confirmed at age 13, but more as a consequence of social pressure than spiritual awakening. After my father's death, my mother's iron fist became the rhythm of my life, and at 16 I ran away from home, and I've never stopped running since. I tried desperately to find love in relationships, especially to the fathers of three fathers to my six children. I found nothing but pain, and my wounds grew. I still believe that God tried to talk to me during my years on the run. I have had six beautiful children and a grandson now. And during every pregnancy, I had this vision that I was the vessel of God's creation. My children have been a deep blessing for me, and it's no surprise that one of them brought me to the church and received a new gift, that of a new spiritual life awakening in me. My daughter Eleanor was baptized some years ago, and when she joined the church, I truly thought she had entered a cult. I was deeply suspicious, but then I noticed a change in her, and I was startled. Soon enough, I went to her church in Swansea a few times. I saw something in the members of the church which made me wish I had what they had. Little did I realize that Jesus had been waiting for me all my life, and I just had to say yes. I asked the minister at Swansea if he could recommend a church near Hitchin, and Christ Church is what he recommended. I've been deeply touched by the welcome of this church, And the teaching during the service and Bible study filled me with a new hope that I too can be forgiven and find peace and serenity in placing my trust in Jesus and the Bible. This baptism is for me a deep letting go of an old self, often lost in the wilderness of self-driven aspirations and a life filled with fear and guilt. Believe me, especially to young ones, I have tried everything else. And I'm coming home now and committing my life to Christ.
My name is Ina, and my baptism today is one of the most important personal commitments I have ever made. It has taken a lot of soul searching and learning from the scriptures before I felt I was ready to commit myself to Jesus. I have always considered myself to be a Christian, and I was of the impression that baptism usually meant babies were baptized when they were a few months old, and that there were two adults who made promises on their behalf, and that was all it took. It wasn't until my son Jonathan was baptized that I began to realize that being baptized was something special, and that committing oneself to Jesus meant we are indeed the children of the Lord. We know that Jesus laid down his life for our sins, and that through Jesus we will have eternal life. I found that the Bible showed it is important to make a contract with Jesus, a public declaration of a two-way contract. It was like a light being switched on. I could see. In the years when I was young, my memories were often sad and confusing. I lived in China, where life was cheap at that time. Chairman Mao's regime saw great disruption, and I witnessed a baby a few days old lying lifeless in a gutter. I know that all will become clear when we reach paradise. In the meantime, we can reflect on the words of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Finally, may I share with you this little message. He died for you. He loves you. And he is reaching out to you.
I grew up in a family where church was for births, marriages and deaths, and very little else. But I've always felt that someone or something was out there, even when I didn't have anything complimentary to say about them. As I explored my spirituality, I kept finding myself faced with God, and eventually I started to believe. I believed that God had sent his son to save us by his sacrifice. I also deeply believed that it was a gift I was undeserving of, imperfect sinner that I am. It took a long time for me to accept Jesus. As my relationship with Christ continued, and having gone through some humbling experiences, I realised that it was pride that kept this distance between God and I. You aren't rescued because you're worth saving. You are saved because your Saviour believes you were worth saving. As imperfect as I am saved because of Christ's love for us. And in that realisation, there is peace, strength, and a desire to know him better.
So I was brought up going to church regularly, and while I never really found it boring, I never connected with the message that I was being taught. I went to the holiday clubs for most summers, first at Westview, then here at Christchurch. I've always called myself a Christian, and in early primary school I was quite happy to correct others in my class about God and about the stories in the Bible, telling them that they were true and that they should believe them, and they were stupid if they didn't. When I was 12, I began to help out the summer holiday clubs, but it still never really clicked until I was introduced to my now best friend, who, very sadly for me, lives out in Australia. We talked and I began to think seriously about what it meant to give my life to Christ. In December, I was invited to be part of a Team Albania trip this summer. I jumped at the chance, but more for the experience of a new country and culture than for sharing God's word. The first night of the trip, I was messaging a friend who had rejected Christ, and it was only then that I realised how lucky I was to know what Christ was like and what he had done for us. On the Wednesday of the Albania trip, I went with Doretta, Chris and Becca to a village called Suk to visit a few families. That was when it struck me the most, how amazing it was that these people loved Jesus with all of their hearts and seen the difference that asking him into their lives had made for them. In that moment, I decided I really wanted to give my life to Christ, and I felt that I could call myself a follower of Christ. Since returning from Albania, it hasn't been easy to live as a Christian. I have done, thought and said wrong things against others and against God, but I believe that Jesus has saved me. I know that I'm a sinner, but I want to be able to trust in Jesus because he died on the cross to pay for my sin, even though I may find it hard. I know that what's impossible with man is possible with God.
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him.
Baptism is a very strange ritual. Sometimes water is sprinkled on the person. Sometimes it's poured over them. We will be doing this for Ina, who is unable to get into the pool. Sometimes we dunk the new Christian completely under the water. Now, why would we do such a strange thing? Well, I want to show you three meanings of baptism from this reading from Romans chapter 6. We are united with Jesus, we live to please Jesus, and we trust in Jesus. Firstly, then, we're united with Jesus. Look at verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. On May the 14th, the D-Day veteran, 101-year-old Bryson William Verdon Hayes, known as Verdon, became the oldest man to skydive. This took place at Honiton in Devon. The great-grandfather only tried skydiving for the first time when he reached 100. Now, Mr. Hayes is a very brave man. He's a D-Day veteran. He is the oldest man to have skydived. But he didn't skydive alone. He was strapped to an instructor. And it's something like that. When we become a Christian, we are united to Jesus. We are joined to Jesus. As we are baptized, symbolically, we're united with Jesus in his death. We are buried with him through baptism. We are raised with him to a new life. This is acted out in baptism. The baptismal candidate is buried under the water and raised to a new life as they come up out of the water. We do let them come up again. Just as Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. So the baptismal candidate, the new Christian, dies to their old life and is raised to a new life. They die to their old life of rebellion against God. They are raised to a new life of living for Jesus. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We are united with Jesus. Secondly, we live to please Jesus. One of the objections that people come up with to the Christian faith is that it's a license to sin. Because Jesus has died on the cross and paid for all our sin, the Bible now offers us complete forgiveness. And some people say, well, why not keep coming to Jesus for forgiveness and then sin as much as you like? The Apostle Paul had opponents who made this argument in the first century. Look what he says in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? The Apostle Paul is very clear. We are joined to Jesus in his death. We have died to sin. The old person who rebelled against Jesus is dead. We're now living a new life to please Jesus. The London businessman Lindsay Clegg was selling a warehouse. The building had been empty for months and needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, smashed the windows, and strewn rubbish around the interior. As he showed a prospective buyer the property, Clegg took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, and clean out the rubbish. Forget about the repairs, the buyer said. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site. That's a picture of what God wants to do with our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. If we try and improve ourselves by human effort, we're like Lindsay Clegg cleaning out his warehouse. God wants to build something completely new. And baptism is a picture of this. We've died to the old life. We're raised to a new life, like Jesus. Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. We are, I'm sure, very respectable people. We could go round and note everyone's credentials. And that's a good thing. However, it's not good enough. The problem is that by nature, I am selfish. I'm a sinner. I disobey God by nature. And baptism speaks of a change which God brings about in us. Whereas we were enslaved to sin, maybe obvious forms of addiction like pornography or alcohol or drugs, or maybe respectable sins, pride maybe. And baptism speaks of the change God wants to bring about in us. We don't change overnight. We continue to battle with sin until we get to heaven. But because we are joined to Jesus, like the 101-year-old and his skydiving instructor, we are set free. Gradually, we come into the freedom God has given us. We're united with Jesus. We live to please Jesus. And thirdly, we trust in Jesus. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. That's an expression of trust. All of those who are being baptized are saying they've transferred their trust from themselves to Jesus. I'm going to cut this talk short because I think the rain's coming. We're united with Jesus. We live to please Jesus. We trust in Jesus. Maybe that these things are new to you and you may have many questions. For example, is it true? Is Jesus really God? Did he really rise from the dead? We can help you answer those questions. We can provide you with some literature. We'd love to invite you to a course we run called Christianity Explored, which goes over the basics of the Christian faith, where you can ask any question you like, no matter how rude. We'd just love to have you on the course. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your patience this afternoon.